Science and Technology.
Science and Art. Carbon-based art forms. A new gallery in India focuses less on the how of science and more on the wow.
In a work titled Allotropy of Mine, Daniela Brill Estrada, an artist from Colombia, confronts viewers with her body's carbon content. A set of IKEA shelves displays jars, big and tiny, each filled with charcoal powder and labelled with the body part it represents. Brain, 150 grams. Intestinal flora, 210 grams. Fats, 2.1 kilograms. It is a powerful way of visualising human biochemistry. The piece was one of three dozen on display until July as part of an exhibition called Carbon at the Science Gallery in Bangalore, India's research and tech capital. The exhibition was the first in the gallery, a newly opened purpose-built space, seeking to play a central role in Indian science and art. Jahnavi Palki, its director, describes it as a public space for knowledge that can serve as a two-way bridge between research and the public. The aim is not just to make science less intimidating and more approachable for the general public. That role is already fulfilled by science museums in every decent-sized Indian city. There are also art galleries galore. But India's education system builds and reinforces a view that the arts and sciences are wholly separate. The Science Gallery hopes instead to bridge that chasm, provoking new questions and inspiring new ideas. There is a little how, in other words, and a lot of wow. The Bangalore Outpost is the newest addition to a network of seven science galleries in America, Australia, Britain, Germany, Mexico, and the first in Ireland, whose purpose is to bring art and science together. All except India's are sponsored by and located in universities, which are capable of throwing together researchers and experts from across disciplines. The Indian knowledge system is organised differently. Teaching universities and research academies exist apart, and there is a long-standing allergy to multidisciplinary institutions. This prevents collaboration or even much interaction between disparate intellectual pursuits. The solution was to create an independent gallery that can act as a convener. It works with three leading lights of the Indian Academy, all based in Bangalore: the National Centre for Biological Sciences, the Indian Institute of Science, and Srishti Institute of Art, Design and Technology. Exhibition themes are suitably original. What does carbon sound like? What if the human body could be distilled into a single molecule? What if silkworms were fed carbon nanotubes? Visitors do not face these thorny questions alone. Young men and women posted around the gallery strike up conversation with families, children and couples, explaining the exhibits and asking what thoughts they provoke. The gallery also organises workshops, lectures and performances. The next step is to open several laboratories that members of the public can use. This is the other direction of Ms. Palki's two-way bridge. The idea is not just to bring research into the public space, but to bring the public into research labs too. Ms. Palki, a science historian, points to the example of C.V. Raman, who won the Nobel Prize in Physics in 1930 for his work on how light scatters. For the first 10 years of his professional life, he was an accountant, she says. In the mornings and evenings, he would go and do his research at the Indian Association for the Cultivation of Science, which was a public lab in Calcutta. Where is that kind of space today? Her goal is to develop them. Such spaces, among other things, are sorely needed in India, which, despite its reputation as a technology superpower, punches below its weight in science. India spends less on research and development as a share of GDP than other middle-income economies. Its scientific output, as measured by published journal articles, pales in comparison with America and China. None of its universities figure in global top 100 rankings. The Indian Constitution calls upon citizens to develop the scientific temper, humanism, and the spirit of inquiry and reform. But opportunities to do so are few. Moreover, Indian science has lately come under assault. Leaders of the Hindu nationalist Bharatiya Janata Party, or BJP, which has governed India for the past decade, have claimed that ancient Hindus invented plastic surgery and that mythological epics offer evidence of nuclear weapons in antiquity. The board of a new research foundation created to overhaul the funding of Indian science has been stacked almost entirely with government officials. In April, the top bureaucrat at the Department of Science and Technology praised scientists for the high school level achievement of rigging a series of mirrors to reflect sunlight onto the face of an idol. Fortunately, India's federal nature allows states to set their own priorities. Karnataka, the southern state of which Bangalore is the capital, is the only one with a body whose purpose is to encourage and promote science and technology education and research. The land on which the gallery sits, therefore, as well as half its initial funding and a third of operational costs, was granted by the government of Karnataka. The remainder of the funding comes from philanthropy. Next year, the gallery plans to host an exhibition on the workings of quantum physics. As the gallery puts it, this will explore things that can exist in more than one state at the same time. A worthy aspiration. But for now, the fusion of art and science is limited to Karnataka.